I'm glad to be here this morning. I really am. I could be anywhere else. I could be in bed. Oh, I'm talking about last week. Yeah, last week I was. And some kind of a nasty flu or something. But anyway, I'm feeling about 300% better. If I splutter a little bit, don't have too much mercy for me. It's just, I always do that till about July. But you know, I accidentally overdosed on cough syrup. I didn't mean to. You know, I noticed there's something. Now I know something different. A tablespoon is not a teaspoon. It's not funny how those things come to reality. And so I had this double what I was supposed to take at 6:30 in the evening, and then I did it again at midnight. Doctor, I mean, under the theory that if a little is good, can you imagine what a lot would do? You could really just really hammer that thing, right? And then I had one early at 7 in the next morning, and then I was very ill. Visions of the Virgin Mary, I'll tell you, it was just unbelievable how that hurt and how ill I fell from that. So learned a lot of good things. Anyway, I'm glad to be here this morning, and I'm grateful for Marcel and his quality job that he does whenever I'm not preaching here. He does, how many know, he just does a great job of what he does. So it's good. But I want to speak from John chapter 17, and I would pray that you would open your heart here this morning that I might speak in revelation. You know, that it didn't just say, well, yeah, that was interesting, but that the Lord would make something real here today. I've called it Lessons from the God Baby. I stole that from Leanne Payne, who she described Jesus in the manger as the God Baby. So John 17 is where I'd like to read from, and verse 23. Well, let me just back up a little bit. Verse 22, the glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Now here it is, I in them, and you in me, that they might become perfectly one. Wow, those seven words, I in them and you in me, describe the journey that we are on as believers together. The Christian season, this is one thing, we have the opportunity to focus our thoughts on the God baby. He was God, but he was in human form. So in praise of the incarnation. And what is the incarnation all about? He came, he died, he rose again. End of the story. That's what the incarnation is about. He came, he died, he rose again. But in that process, he humbled himself to put on our flesh. He left his glory and his majesty and whatever that would be all about, I don't know. And he took on human flesh, God taking on human flesh. Many people struggle with the doctrine of the incarnation. It's foundational in my mind and extremely important. So we have, just as Jesus took on our flesh, we now have the joy of putting on Christ. And I'll talk about that for the next few moments here. So Jesus says, put me on. Receive me into your deepest selves. Walk with me in obedience. Wow. Putting on Christ. That's our obligation. That's our joy to do that as well. Romans chapter 13 and verse 14 is that clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus. So that metaphor of clothing, to me, I think is quite crucial. As the Lord took on a different form, so we take on Jesus coming into our heart and living his life through us. So there's a sense in which we put on the good and we wear it, as it were, allowing its amazing influences to seep into the very core of our being. As every morning as I get up and say, Lord, I clothe myself in you. And in that taking on that clothing, it begins to influence me. It begins to seep into the very core of my being. It was the essence of this incarnation, is that I'm Christ drawing nearer and nearer to him day by day, month by month, year by year. So, for example, if we have not yet learned, for example, to enter into praise, many people have never learned that. They don't understand what entering into praise is about, and they are wonderfully blessed when they find out what that is about. But I know that if we have not yet learned to do that, we can put on the mantle of praise. Right? We can put it on. And so we put it on and say, Lord, I will bless you. I put on the mantle of praise. As a matter of fact, we can put on all of the virtues. We can put on peace. I clothe myself in peace. I clothe myself in victory. I clothe myself in the all-powerful name of the Lord. So we put on all of the virtues. So we come to the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12 to 14. And it comes out like this. Clothe yourself. Oh, there it is again. Clothe yourselves with compassion. See, it's very hard for me to be compassionate towards those people. Mm-hmm. I understand that. I think some people, not only do we not love them, we hardly like them. Right? And the more we get to know them, the less we like them. That's not the wrong part, but that's not what the Lord wants. So I must clothe myself with compassion and to take on the compassion of Jesus. Clothe myself with kindness. It may not come natural to me, right? But I can do that. Lord, I'm clothing myself in your kindness. I clothe myself. I might be arrogant and proud as a male, and yet I thank the Lord that I can take on humility. I clothe myself with Christ, who is humility and personified. And so I take that on, and I can face anything and everything because of that. So our choices are key in the matter of casting off the old and the diseased, as well as in putting on the new and the good. It's a constant thing we do. We do that all the day, every day, all day. So we're commanded to put on Christ, and we're commanded to put off the old self, as Ephesians 4, 22 to 24 talk about there again. Now, long time ago, I spoke on this Psalm 109, but I'd like to turn back to it here this morning. Psalm 109, what a picture here. Let me just read verse 17. I'm going to stop at verse 19, but I'm going to, 17. He loved to curse. I'll just pause. You know, I've met people, men especially, who their language is so bad, but they don't even know it's bad. It's just one continual curse. Son of a beep, beep, blank, blink, blank, beep, gee, beep, 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 beep. And they couldn't have make a sentence, put two sentences together that didn't have swearing in it. How many know you've worked with somebody like that? They just cursed all of the time. I tease Val that she's Irish, and you know they're called the cursing Irish because they're always cursing, and it's got such many F letters in it that it comes out like a language all itself. But I thought, my goodness. So Psalm 109. He loved to curse, let curses come upon him. He did not delight in blessing, may it be far from him. He clothed himself, here we are. He clothed himself, that's what we're supposed to do, with cursing as his coat. May it soak into his body like water, like oil into his bones. May it be like a garment that he wraps around him, like a belt that he puts on every day. Wow. Just substitute, if you would, for a moment, if you're listening to my voice here this morning, just substitute cursing with other vices. He wore anger as a garment. A lot of angry people, angry men, angry women. I don't know where the anger started, but I know it's warp and woof of who they are now. You see, it's not too late, but it's late for them. So he wore anger as a garment, or he wore envy as a garment, lust as a garment, lying as a garment, hypocrisy, ambition. All of these things. Pride. He wore pride as a cloak. Hatred. Bitterness. Revenge. Wore it like a cloak. So whatever dark coat we put on, its influences enter into us. That's why this is, if you love life, you'll heed the scriptures, because the influence of whatever you put on will seep to the core of your being. And not only will not be just something that you do, it'll be something that you are and something that you become. And it's a terrible, terrible thing. We no longer are merely afflicted with anger or afflicted with lust or afflicted with what with whatever. We've become essentially that. And so as a man, as a male, if you sit in front of a computer or in front of a TV and until your eyes are glazed with lust, the danger of it all is that not only is it some activity, but it becomes part of your character, that you can't think a clean thought because you have sat before that screen and hundreds and thousands of images and it enters into you. He wore lust as a cloak. And I thought, well, that's serious. That's very, very serious. So I become what I'm focused on. I become what I'm putting on. So we have become in our own bodies veritable temples of that particular vice. I am the temple of lust, or a temple of anger, because it begins to fill me and then begins to pattern me. So the outer image we once put on now reflects our inner condition. That we perhaps never at first would have ever imagined that it took us there. That you became a jealous, spiteful, bitter, twisted, angry, critical, fault-finding. And you had no idea where that came from. It came because you put that on. Day after day, year after year, lifetime, till finally your life is, you know, for example, gossip. That's why it's such a wretched thing. He put on gossip as a garment. You know, you can say, well, you know this, and pretty soon you're known as the gossip. Pretty soon they say, don't tell so-and-so. Well, I'll tell you, they'll blab it everywhere. And you become gossipy until it's working out from inside of you. It's not just influencing you where you're tempted to say something. It's what you are. You are a gossip. You are a fornicator. You are that. You become that. Because you put it on. And so the admonition comes, put off the old. Don't fool around with this. Put it off and put on Christ. So we must put off the sin that defiles us. Now in your notes, I shouted out to Val. She says, what verse did you want? And I said, Hebrews 12:12. It's not. That doesn't even make sense if you read that. That doesn't even make sense. But it says, lay it, but verse 2 does. Chapter 12, verse 2. He said, lay aside every weight and the sin. Oh, so now there's two things. Cast off. Well, let me just turn to that. It's worthwhile reading. It's worthwhile reading. See, one of the things. Yeah, lay aside every weight. All right, make sure we do that. And lay aside the sin. What sin? The sin which clings so closely. Clinging what? Like a garment. Those weights and those sins become part and parcel of who we are. And it becomes extremely serious. So the Lord knows well of the deliverance that we need when he sees that in me. And only through Christ can these things be uprooted and pulled out of us. Right? Whether it's a root of bitterness. Oh, Lord, I beg of you, deliver me from that root of bitterness. And the Lord is gracious and he will do that. So the virtues and the vices are real things. So when you read Colossians and Ephesians, when you read that, you begin to realize, wow, this isn't just poetry. This isn't just a look at a metaphor. They are real things with a real capacity for good or for evil. See, I'm on a journey of becoming, and I have a choice. Eternal life, of course, is given to all, right? Eternal life is for lost people. Anyone who's lost and turns to Christ can be saved. So we're not talking about your eternal salvation. What we're talking about is who you are in the Lord and who you become. So there's real capacity that whether I can go forward in my life or whether I will be stymied in my life and not go anywhere, it's my choice, but I have to put it on. The Lord doesn't do that for you. He says, you put it on. You put on Christ. You clothe yourself. And indeed we do. We call out to him. So we're instructed to put on the one and to put off the other. And so we practice the presence of Jesus. All day long, every day, we put on Christ as a really excellent cloak. I want to clothe myself in him because I can feel it coming through. I can feel it coming into my spirit. I can feel it coming into my heart. I can feel it coming into my desires. As I put him on day after day, and that cloak soaks and soaks and soaks and soaks and soaks and soaks and soaks. And looking only to him. And so it's a really excellent cloak. So many times, and of course there's reasons why people don't go forward. I just don't want to be one of them. I want to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. Right, that's the admonition to us. So what hinders us? Oh, there's hindrances. And they're very simple things. It's funny how you think we'd kind of catch it by now. But number one is an absolute refusal to forsake resentments. It's absolutely interesting how many people are resentful. And they're mad. And they're full of anger. And they absolutely refuse to put it off. They feel they have a right to be angry. They have a feel they have a, you know, it's my life and they hurt me and this is what happened and I never got the breaks and on it goes. So we have the reasons, but when they just refuse to forsake resentments and thus that soaks, those resentments, they don't just become resentful, they are resentful. It's a condition. And it gets worse and worse as see, he put on cursing as a cloak and that it began to seep into his very bones. The second thing is forgiveness for others. Regardless of whether they deserve it, regardless of whether they should be forgiven, the point of it is if you want to be healthy, you must forgive. You don't have to forgive, of course. You can stay in it while you are. You will be known and you will be just that unforgiving person. Say, no, I'm not unforgiving for most people, just that person. Doesn't make any difference. Do you want to be right or do you want to be well? And I'm choosing wellness. I'm choosing wholeness. And I want that in my own heart. So number one, absolute refusal to forsake resentments. Number two, failure to forgive others. Do it quickly. Keep a short list of that. There's lots of reasons why I could be upset. There's lots of reasons why you could be upset. There's endless things, isn't there? If it's not one thing, it's another. Right? There's always something that somebody has done. Somebody, didn't respect you and didn't honor you in some way, and so you're upset about it. So, but forgive. Forgive others. Say, well, they don't deserve it. No, they don't, but neither do we, and Jesus forgave us. Right? He forgave us for everything past, present, and future, and so we do the same. And then, thirdly, the failure to lay before God the terrible pride. The terrible pride that refuses to allow him access to their hearts. That's a killer. That I won't go and say I'm sorry because of my pride. I won't kneel before the Lord. I won't share. I won't confess because of my pride. It's a terrible thing. Pride. Pride in your heart. That you become, you don't think you are, but you become proud. And you decide who's worthy of your attention. Right? Oh, they're not worthy of it, so I'm not going to spend time with those people. And because of resentments and pride and all the other things. So I say, oh, thank you, Lord, for the gift of incarnation, the gift of Christ's life in me. I in you, living his life, expressing himself, going deeper and deeper as I put him on every day. That's powerful. These seven words, I in them and you in me. And I wrote here, oh, the joy of fruitfulness. When I think of as a young boy walking down the dusty streets of my hometown, I never dreamed in the whole world did I dream that Jesus would do a work in me and would use me and would fulfill me and thrill me. And I can hardly believe it's a long ways away. It's a long, long time ago in so many ways. But the joy of fruitfulness, because I know this, if I don't put on Christ, everything is wrong. I feel, even if I go for some days and I do not come into his presence and put him on, I find that I'm starting to get a bit fearful about the news and a bit fearful about what I'm going to do about this, you know what I'm talking about? Is that I can feel it. I could, you know, if it had not been for Jesus Christ and my putting Jesus on, I would be one lost puppy, I'll tell you. I know that. I know it intrinsically. I know it personally. Without even having to, I haven't experienced everything of it, but I know that I would be at the airport when my ship came in. I know that I would be with the wrong woman in the wrong place and the wrong time, and I'd be unfulfilled, and I would feel that empty feeling that I feel even when I leave Christ out of my life for hours. I find that, dear God, I am so thankful for the gift of Christ coming into my heart and my life. So grateful, so thankful. And the joy of fruitfulness, where little by little, line upon line, precept on precept, you are being changed, you're being transformed. It's not done with me. So I say, please be, you know, remember that thing, all those letters, please be patient with me. God's not finished with me yet. It's absolutely true. But I hold the key. The next 5 years, if I put on Christ and put off, of course, the putting off is as important as the putting on, as I put off those things, lying, cheating, unkindness, whatever else it would be. And so this joy of fruitfulness, if you are willing to put on the Lord, that's the criteria. Oh, the growth. Oh, the richness of this journey. And I am so grateful for it. I can't describe it. I'm stunned and I'm staggered. Somebody said to me some months ago, they said, could you hardly believe that your alcoholic father never was able to affirm you? Could you ever believe the journey that you've been on? I said, no, I know. I know. I don't know why the Lord would reach down and save my sister and save me. I'd have no idea. All I know that Jesus Christ living in me is a living dynamic, a powerful thing. And you put him on and you let him soak into you, soak into your heart, soak into your spirit, soak into your mind, and say, Lord, I give more and more of me to you. Because at the end of the journey, it's not over till it's finally over. But you have that opportunity to go forward. Or you have an opportunity to stay where you are and just put on those vices. Right? And the problem with the church is that people filled with vices who will not repent of it and turn from it and cast it off. Right? When I feel jealousy, I hate that thing where I feel jealous. That's a terrible thing to feel jealousy. Just as one example. And so, and Father, you can't hardly stand and say, in Jesus' name, I cast that off me. I will not be jealous. I repent of it, I turn from it, and I put on the Lord Jesus Christ so that I am free from those resentments and that jealousy and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So all the growth, all the richness this thing can have for you. It gets, and it does get better and better and better as you yield to the Lord, as these various vices in your life and tendencies for failure and weights and sins, that we don't want to be clothed in sin. We want to be clothed in Christ. And that, and the power of that. And so, looking, longing, loving, we become like the one we envision. The one that I gazed at this morning before I came over to the church. And I said, I love you. I put you on today. I put you on my life. You in me and I in you. Do you know the impact of that, John 17? Or John, whatever it was, verse 17. That's powerful. Jesus said, that's what it's going to be. I'm going to be in you, living my life, but you must put me on every day, every day. And at the end of the day, when you see areas, you say, I was walking in my flesh. I was walking. I was not the kind of person I should have been. Lord, I just thank you for your forgiveness. And now I choose Christ. And I put on Christ. And I want to look and long and love, because I know that I will become like the one that I'm staring at as I behold him. Won't I? Won't you be? We hardly recognize you. We'll say, look at the journey you've been on. Look at what Christ, when you started putting on Christ, look at the difference it's made. And how people are recognizing it. And they're seeing things about you, and leadership is coming forth, and skills are coming forth, and gifts are coming forth, because as you put on the Lord, those things are just natural reflections. And there are just, you know, there's just so many delightful, delightful people. I'm looking at you, Rose. I came home from those meetings, and I said to Val, and I know I'm going to embarrass you. I said, she is one lovely believer, and you are. And I could see Jesus in you while I was in your home those 4 nights. You see, why? It's just how it happens. As you put the Lord on, people begin to see that and notice it and say, wow, it's quality, right? Because of Christ. That's what it is. It's because of Christ. Christ expressing himself. Christ exhibiting himself. And so, make me more like you, Lord. Make me more like you. Give me a heart that's filled with love, and make me more like you. Never too late. You can start right now. I don't know how many years I have ahead. All I just know this is that I want to put on Christ. And I trust that the last day of my day on earth, that I will breathe my last and smile and say, I put you on, Lord Jesus. I clothe myself in you for my final journey. So this whole thing is today, tomorrow, the next day. But it is a reality. You can live a life, a supernatural life by this. Because it can't be done in our own strength. Just as you can't deliver yourself from these things. They go deep. A fear of abandonment, for example, that goes deep in your life because you were abandoned, but you're not now. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, don't let that. Yes, you might have been abandoned. Maybe you were abused. Maybe this had happened. And all kinds of reasons that you could say, look, I've been injured here. Yeah, you probably have. And you were injured by Christians, no doubt. I can always say, yeah, surprise, surprise. Right? But listen, but this will soak into you. It will soak like a garment. It will start at the surface. It will go deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper till you are that. You are the abandoned one. You are the abused one. That's what will happen. And so we say, no, Father, no, in Jesus' name. I cast that off and I put on the Lord and all his provisions for me. And they're there. And God will do that gradual, beautiful, sure, steady work as I put on the Lord Jesus. Isn't it inviting? Isn't it? This isn't just one man's testimony. It's all of our testimony. The difference that Christ made and the difference he continues to make as you yield more and more to him. Sometimes I see you can wear a cloak. You actually think it looks good on you, but it's not. So you want to rip that off. just to rip that off. I've often thought, when people come to know the Lord, it's funny, one of the first thing that happens is that they correct their language without being conscious of it. Right? They whereas before they would have swore a blue streak that would have been, you know, just full of color. Some people can really curse well. But I said, what is sadder than a cursing guy? Right? What's sadder? I was watching when they were building the library here. I stood through the picket fence with this guy. He comes beside me. I can't even do it because I'm in church. I can't do what he said. But you know, I think that's physically impossible, what you're saying. But anyway, that's another story. You know, he just was cursing him. What do you think of this? He's beep, beep, son of a beep, 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 beep. And I said, no. Where in the world? Did you never learn English or anything? No words but cursing words. And I thought, that's because it started when he was 11, right? And in 12 and 13, 14, finally, now he's a 50-year-old guy, and he's full of curses. And how can there be fruit? Or anger? Just name it. Name the vice. We are commanded to cast it off, and we're commanded to put it on. Will you do that this morning? Will you not leave here without saying, Lord, I clothe myself. Well, actually, turn that. Romans is our closing verse here. Yeah. This is so good. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. This is Romans chapter 13. The night is far gone. The day is at hand. So then, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let's do that. And let's put on the armor of light. Oh, wow, the armor of light. Yes, clothed in light. We're aware of the darkness, but we clothe ourselves in the light of the picture of that. As you leave here, say, Lord, I'm just putting on that shield. What is the armor of light? You have an opportunity to do that. That you literally, even if you're in dark places, you're not. There's no darkness in you. And because of that, so you cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the daylight, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling and jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ. So that all ties it back to John 17 in the high priestly prayer. I in them and thou in me. Huh. Thank you, Lord, for coming into my life. And for as you're changing me, as I choose to put on you. He will not do that for you. This is not something he said, well, he can do that if he wants to. No, you must. You must. He says, you put it on. You cast it off. And as I do that, the marvelous life that's produced in it, and your life will be a thing of beauty. And we'll see the Lord. And not that it's perfect, right? There's still areas that say, oh, Lord, what was I thinking on that? Forgive me, Father. And he does. But he does that work in your life. He'll do it onward. And so we look as Jesus took on human flesh, as God took on human flesh in the person of Jesus. So he now tells us, now you clothe yourself with me. And that's what this is all about. Let's stand together. It's not a matter of promising you what you'll do better. I hope you don't feel that this morning. I think it's a matter of look at what the Lord has done thus far in your life. You know and I know it was because you put on the Savior. You could have turned that route. You could have taken a wrong turn at Albuquerque. But you decided that you wanted to put the Lord on. And I can see in you, in so many that I know here, I can see the difference it's made. Oh, the richness of it. The joy of it. The marvel of it. That he will live his life through me. Imagine that. He will live his life through me. Today, tomorrow, the next day. He said, I've come to live inside of you. How's that for incarnation? I've come to live inside of you. It's not you living a good Christian life. Just yield to me. Yield to me. Put me on. Cast off that vileness that you see in your life, that tendency to criticism. Cast it off. Don't put another day with lying, cheating. Right? You know, put on honesty. Lord, I put it on, and I'm casting off that and that and that. I'm going to be known as an honest man. No lies in me. Right? Wow. Wow. Lord, I can hardly believe the journey that you have brought me on. And I thank you that it's not over yet. I don't want to be in the way, Lord. I want to be in the parade. I want to march in it. I want to rejoice in you. I thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters here. Precious, precious people. I thank you, Lord, for the experience that they're finding themselves, that the more they put on the Lord, the more it soaks into them. From the front to the back and the sides, it's clinging to them. And we bless you for that. And we thank you. Lord, we commit ourselves to you. Continue to reveal more of yourself to us. And reveal what it means for me, Lord, and others here as Christ people, people with Christ in them. Lord, show us how to yield more perfectly. And we just say to you, Lord, you're the best. You're the best. You're absolutely lovely. You are the pearl of great price. We have tasted and we have said, how good is the Lord. We have tasted of your goodness. We have experienced the garment of Christ. And we're not satisfied with anything else, but more of Christ. And we bless you and we praise you. Thank you, Father, in your glorious name. In the strong name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. What I want to just draw your attention to is that if you have a connection card, take it to the back or take it to one of these bins. And make sure that if you're a new person, you'd like a book, just pick up that book. We invite you to come for coffee. It won't get nicer than this next few months. So please join us if you can for some coffee. God bless you. Thank you.